faith and good works. What I want to try to begin to talk about now is God-given faith. Because as Paul writes here, a very familiar phrase, most people who would attend what we call church on a regular basis would probably know this from memory, for by grace are you saved through faith. They probably know that much if they don't know anything else of it.
Yeah.
For by grace are you saved through faith. And then the Apostle Paul, being moved by the Spirit, immediately writes, now, for by grace are you saved through faith. That's enough.
Yeah.
But it's not enough for us.
Exactly.
You see, that's enough, but it's not enough for us. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Amen.
Not of works. That is, not of any effort. The point here is not good works. The point is effort of any kind.
Exactly.
You see, most people think, well, I don't believe in salvation by good works. But the truth of Scripture is there is no salvation by any human effort.
Amen.
Salvation is the gift of God's grace.
Amen.
Salvation is what God freely gives.
Amen.
It doesn't depend on whether we take it or not. If He gives it, we'll have it. And you know the passage, the Scripture, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power.
Amen.
We don't preach against willingness. We just declare that there is no willingness until God gives it. Now, the word faith is bantered around today. In some circles, it's bantered around today as though faith is common to all humanity.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a person of faith. They might be a Buddhist, but they're a person of faith.
Oh, yeah.
And then you have a Christian, and they're both standing together, and they say, well, we're both people of faith. That has some truth. No. That has some fact to it,
yeah,
but no truth to it.
Exactly. That's it.
That may be a fact, but it's not the truth.
Amen.
So again, I say the word faith kind of bantered around in some circles as though it's common to all humanity. It's like faith is a human trait. It's something that kind of oozes out of man. You can't help it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in other circles, there are those who believe faith is this little spark in humanity. This has even been used. You know, it was coined by someone years ago, and it kind of, you know, kept going. It's like kind of this little spark in humanity which needs only be fanned by some divine fan, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Preach the word of God to it, and these people have faith, and it'll kind of rise up in them. This is a very limited. This is a false understanding of what the Scripture means when it talks about faith.
Sir.
W. Best wrote a book, I read a little bit of it this morning, and the title of it is Simple Faith, a Misnomer.
Yeah.
Because faith is not simple. Faith is a characteristic intrinsic to God and God alone.
Exactly.
Therefore, it's not simple, because our God is not a simple God in any sense of the word. In any sense of the word. Now, let me first say, there is human faith. There is what we could call human faith. But Scripture does not honor human faith. James calls it in chapter 2, verse 20 and 26. I'm not going to turn to those. But James calls it dead faith. Now, there are those who believe that what James is saying is there is this real faith, but you got to add works to it. They think that's what James is teaching.
Yeah.
That here you have real faith, and then you add works to it, and then therefore faith becomes valid. That is not what James is teaching.
Yeah.
Now, I said I wasn't going to read it, but now I got to read it because I'm afraid I might misquote it. See, I lied to you while I was preaching, didn't I? James chapter 2, let's read this one verse in particular, verse 26, for as the body without the spirit is dead. Now some say that should be breath, And that's okay. But in the truest sense, it's also spirit. Because man is a trichotomy. He's made up of three things. The material, that's the body. And the immaterial, which is the soul and spirit. And soul and spirit are conjoined twins. That's why in places the scripture would almost use them interchangeably. But there is a difference between soul and spirit. Because scripture says, God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life. That's breath. That's spirit of life. And man became a living soul. Therefore the two are distinct. But yet they're together. You don't have a soul without spirit.
Exactly.
You don't have a spirit without soul. But they're two different but yet conjoined things. But you have man, body, soul, and spirit. But be that as it may, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is what? Dead also. So James is saying there is a faith, but it's a dead faith.
Yeah.
It's like having a corpse. What is a corpse? Yeah. No life.
Exactly.
No breath. No spirit.
Yeah.
So James here is not trying to say there is this grand and glorious gift of God, and that's the way the scripture presents it.
Yeah.
A grand, glorious gift of God. James is not now lessening this grand and glorious gift as though it has to have good works come along with it to make it valid. What James is saying is there's a faith that doesn't cut the mustard.
Exactly.
That's what he's saying.
Yes, sir.
And through the preponderant testimony of Scripture, it would be God-given faith. That's what I'm going to talk about for the next several weeks. God-given faith as opposed to human faith. Think about this. Let me give you this statement. God's grace does not join with human faith and then produce some hybrid salvation. This is what most people teach. They teach that the gift of faith is kind of this general, universal gift that God gives to everyone. This ability to believe, but then they have to somehow crank up the power, the wheel, to believe. They have to then, and the phrase would be, exercise their faith.
Oh yeah.
The word in itself is not wrong.
No.
Because faith is exercised when you believe.
Exactly.
Because believing is the verb form of the noun faith.
Amen.
Yeah.
There is a such thing as exercising faith. But what most people mean when they say exercising faith is they're saying everyone has the ability to believe, you just have to do it. That is, everyone has faith, they just don't believe Christ with it. In other words, put your faith in Jesus Christ. I heard that this morning on the radio. Put your faith in Jesus Christ, it'll do you no good. You have to be given faith in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This is, without question, I wrote down to start with, faith in good works, glorious faith. But I changed it just a few seconds ago. It's actually faith in good works, God-given faith.
Yeah.
It's more particular. That's what I want to talk about. This glorious, grand, marvelous, I mean, the words, you can just go on and on. Even we could say in a proper sense, mysterious gift of God.
Yes, sir.
Because that's one of the mysteries of God manifest in the flesh. You know, great is the mystery of godliness. The first one is said to be what? God manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
But then the last one is what?
Yeah.
Believed on in the world.
Amen.
Now, first of all, let me just say, number one, faith is God's gift. It is a gift of His grace. And I know this, for some people, is just semantics, but it's still the difference between truth and a lie. For some, it's just semantics, but it's still the difference between truth and a lie. Faith is the gift of God's grace. You do not exercise faith to get God's grace.
Exactly.
Sadly, this is what most people preach today. You exercise faith, you believe, and then God will show you grace. Now, there are those who believe there must be at least prevenient grace to do that. No, there must be grace, period,
exactly,
to do that. Because as the apostle writes here, and let me turn back to our text, for by grace are ye saved.
Amen.
Isn't that what it says?
Yes, sir.
For by grace. So what saves me in this verse?
Yeah.
Grace saves me. Not faith.
Exactly.
Right? It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Therefore, the foundation, the reason for salvation is grace.
Amen.
The means by which we are joined to it is faith.
Exactly.
Now, I've said it before, and sometimes I think, man, I keep saying this, it's got to sound so simplistic, though it's not. It's got to be so boring, though it's not. And yet what is generally taught today is for by faith are you saved through grace.
That's it.
And they make faith the foundation and then grace the means. But it's just not. It's the old saying, they always put the cart before the horse.
Exactly.
Paul is clear, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then this is why he directly now is moved immediately by the Spirit of God. And that not of yourselves. Even the faith is not of yourselves. I mentioned to you last Sunday how not only does the wording show that, but the actual form of the Greek, the Greek tenses of the words that are used and their singular and neuter, masculine or feminine state, all clearly declare that everything is the gift of God. God's grace is His gift. God, faith is God's gift.
Amen.
Therefore, salvation is God's gift.
Amen.
And none of it is of any human effort.
Amen.
This same writer is quite clear in Romans chapter 9. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. So it doesn't depend upon you to start it. It doesn't depend upon you to complete it.
Exactly.
It depends upon God. Now, you will start and you will complete.
Yes,
but
sir.
It not doesn't depend. It's not of him that willeth,
amen,
nor of him that runneth, but it's of God that showeth mercy.
Amen.
If he shows you mercy, you will.
Amen.
And you will run because you can't help it. You can't help it. Faith is God's gift. Philippians chapter 1, here's another place where it's stated that faith is God's gift. And it's kind of stated in a secondary manner, but not as though it's secondary, but just because the apostle's words here are about something else. Philippians chapter 1, in verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to suffer for his sake. That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
That's the crux of this passage, the context here. In other words, my suffering is God's gift to me.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even Peter says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try some of you, as though it's some strange thing. What is it? It's the trial of your what, though?
Yeah.
Faith.
Mm-hmm.
The trial of your why? To manifest, not to make it good, but to manifest whether it's the real thing or not.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's for. I mean, if you have two different items and one of them is an imposter, you want to find out ways to find, you know, how can I know whether I got the real thing or not? You buy, what is it, a Rolex? You go pay $1,000 for something that ain't worth 10. You want to have some reason, Joe, to think my money's well spent. That's a human illustration completely. But this is what Peter's saying. And this is what Paul is saying. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ to suffer for his sake. But notice what else he puts in there with it. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him.
Amen.
You see that?
Yeah.
Not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Faith is God's gift.
Amen.
According to Acts chapter 18 to verse 27, it is clear that men believe by grace. And I'm not even going to turn. You can read it. Acts 18, verse 27. Men believe by grace. 13, verse 48 of Acts says this. I think it's verse 48. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed.
Amen.
Now, there were some people, in John 8 it's recorded, there were some people who believed, but they clearly were not ordained by God to believe it. They believed from within themselves. Because immediately after they believed on him, Christ then began giving them more truth. Harder truth. More difficult truth, but truth nonetheless. And then they wanted to kill him. The same people that said, and from that time on, many believed on him. And just moments later, when he begins to then speak to them the truth of God's absolute sovereignty, it said they wanted to kill him.
Exactly.
That kind of believing will do you no good.
That's it.
It's only the God-given gift of faith that is of value. And the only way to know if it's real or not is to have it tested.
Yeah.
Right? Have it tried. And it's tried by what? Peter calls it fiery trials.
Yes, sir.
Fiery trials. Men believe by grace. In other words, God gives someone grace first, and then they will believe. They do believe. They joyously believe. And as we will see later, they lovingly believe. And I will jump ahead. You must lovingly believe or you don't believe at all.
Exactly.
You must lovingly believe. I think about years ago, I believed in Jesus. I made my profession when I was about 5 or 6, somewhere along that age. I made a profession of faith in Jesus. And David, I believed in Jesus.
Yeah.
I knew he was real. The Bible said he was real.
Yeah.
I knew he went to the cross and died. I knew he was buried and rose. You could not have convinced me otherwise. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
I believed it was fact, but I didn't love the truth of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't love it.
Yeah.
And that was later manifest by my conduct,
by
the way I lived after that profession of faith. No, faith is God's gift. And when God gives you grace, you will believe. But he doesn't just give grace and all of a sudden you start believing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not just you wake up one morning and, whoa, I believe now. It doesn't work that way. But before we look at that, first of all, faith is God's gift. But secondly, faith is the fruit of God himself. Faith is not even a little bit of something good that God breaks off and puts in me. Faith is said to be the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
What is it? Galatians chapter 5, isn't it? And it is a capital S because the context is clear here. It's not faith is the fruit of the human spirit.
Exactly.
Right. No, sir. Now, there is a faith that may be a fruit of the human spirit, but it's not that faith that's associated with grace and salvation.
Exactly.
Here the Apostle Paul in Galatians 5 says, verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. And I need to just move on. Because, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, every person is led by their human spirit.
Yeah.
Ephesians 2 has said that.
Oh, yeah.
This is not being talked about being led of the human spirit. This is talked about being led of God Almighty himself.
Yes, sir.
But if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. It's not gray. It's black and white.
Exactly.
The only grayness is our inability to see the difference
of
it.
Yeah.
And he gives this list, right, of things that are clearly manifest. Here are the works of the flesh. And he gives this list, adultery. And it's not an exhaustive list.
Yeah.
You know, it's not an exhaustive list. But he does hit some of the, I was going to say high spots, maybe I'll say low spots.
Yeah.
Maybe, but nevertheless, you know what I'm saying here. He hits the adultery. Fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now, let me just stop and say, isn't it amazing in our culture today in which there are some things that are bad,
yeah,
which people ought to be exposed for.
Yeah.
But when it comes to sexual sin, well, that's just between the person and their spouse or the person and whoever did it. You know what I'm saying? This is where our society has come to today.
Yeah.
To where if it's sexual, then you keep that quiet. That's between individuals. Well, let me tell you something. When it comes to adultery and fornication, it's never only between two people.
That's right. Amen.
Because it affects a whole lot more people.
Exactly.
It may be between just two people, but it affects other people as well. No man is an island.
Yeah.
No two people are an isthmus even.
Yeah.
We're all a part of humanity, and everything we do that's the works of the flesh affects somebody else. It hurts somebody else. It offends somebody else. It does them harm.
Exactly.
Adultery, fornication, uncleanness. That's not talking about soap and water. Talk about immorality. That's what it's talking about. Lasciviousness. And I do like the way Earl used to say, slobbering after unclean things.
Exactly.
That's a good, we know, oh, like a dog slobbering for a bone. Lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. So a person can be religious.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Heresy. Heresy is a religious thing. It's even used about some people who profess to be Christian.
Yes, sir.
Right? Even about some people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're said to be what? Heretics.
Exactly.
Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. So there he gives you the exhaustive. Anything else like that?
Yeah, exactly.
Of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And let's just let that stand.
Pretty much.
I mean, we all want to try to find some out.
Yeah.
The whole point is there's not an out here. If you do those things, one, they're the works of the flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're nothing but the works of the flesh, and you can't make them holy.
Exactly.
They are unholy, ungodly, unrighteous.
Amen.
Period. And those that do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Now the point is, I have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what, sadly? Sometimes I still do.
Yep.
I still do. And that's why the Apostle Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith.
Amen.
And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Then look, it goes on. But the fruit of what? The new nature? No, it's not the fruit of the new nature. The new nature is simply the place where these things are housed.
Yep.
That's my language. But the new nature is what God puts in me, and it's the vessel that God puts in me. I'm trying to use a metaphor. It's a vessel that God places within me, wherein He then houses His fruit.
Yeah.
Not my fruit.
Exactly.
It's not the fruit of the, this is not the flesh lusteth against the new nature. That's the way I used to understand this,
yeah,
or think about this. No, this is the flesh lusteth against who? God.
Amen.
And God against the flesh.
Yeah.
And what is said to be the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness. Do you have any of these things in you? If you're a believer, you do. You do. In spite of yourself.
Exactly.
But they're not of you.
Yeah.
They're of who?
Yeah.
God.
Amen.
The fruit of the Spirit is these things. Meekness. Temperance. Against such, what? There is no law. These are truly good things.
Exactly. That's it.
Mason, they're truly righteous things.
Amen.
And that's why the Apostle Paul in Romans says, I know that in me, but then he quickly adds, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. Because there are some good things that dwell in me.
Yeah.
That's the fruit of God. Because if He saved me, He put these things in me.
Amen.
No, more than that, He is in me.
Exactly. Amen. That's it.
Therefore, these things are in me.
Amen.
But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and one is what? Faith.
Amen.
Faith is the fruit of the Spirit. Faith is not what I'm doing for God. Faith is what God's doing for me.
Amen.
That is a simplistic way of stating it. It's probably an oversimplification, but it's still true nonetheless.
Yeah.
Faith is, God don't need my faith, I need His faith.
Amen. That's it.
That's what it's all about.
That's it.
And religion, so-called Christian religion, the majority of them today are preaching exactly the opposite of that.
Exactly.
God needs your faith. God don't want my faith. God condemns my faith. He calls it dead faith. Another place, Joe, you quoted it. He calls it an abandoning faith. You quoted it. 1 John 2, verse 19. They went out from us because they were not of us. Now, they didn't become not of us. They were already, from the get-go, not of us. But that it might be made manifest that they were not all of us, they went out from us.
That's it.
You see, people abandon the faith, that is, objective truth, because they're not of faith. You see, subjective faith, that's the gift of God, responds to and rejoices in only objective faith. That's what's in this book.
Yeah.
You see, God doesn't give you subjective faith and all of a sudden you just start believing things that are right. God gives you faith in the subjective sense, and that faith is called out, it's made manifest through the objective faith.
Yeah.
That is the truth of God revealed in the Word. Our Lord said, if any man be of God, he shall know of the doctrine, whether I speak of myself or whether something else. You see, when God gives faith, it will respond to the truth.
Amen. Exactly.
And to the truth only.
Yeah.
Because if you, even as a believer, respond to anything other than truth, it's your flesh.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So he goes on, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live there, that's in the Spirit, let us also do what? Walk there as well. Walk there as well. Now, there are those who emphasize walk to the expense of live.
Yeah.
And there are those who emphasize live to the expense of walk.
Yeah.
But both are there.
Exactly.
And they're in our text.
Yeah.
For by grace, let me turn back to it. I should be able to quote it, but I probably can't. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Now, if you have a creator and a created, who does all the work?
Exactly.
The creator does all the work.
Yeah.
We're created in Christ Jesus, but what? Unto good works.
Amen.
Which God hath before ordained that we should do a few of them.
Exactly.
Is that what it says? No, it's where we walk.
Amen.
That's where I live now.
Exactly.
And if I live there, Paul says, do what?
Yeah.
Walk there. If you live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So faith is the fruit of God himself. Faith is never what I'm doing for God. Faith is what God has given me. And it will respond to his truth.
Amen.
Now I say this not to be mean. And I often say I say this not to be mean because I know I can be mean. I know that I can get angry at times. I was about to say I don't intend to, but I intend to as well.
Exactly.
But I shouldn't.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean it's wrong to get angry.
No.
There's a difference between being mean and being angry.
Exactly.
Our Lord became angry.
Yes, sir.
He became so angry he made a whip and drove some people out of the temple.
Yes, sir.
Therefore, anger in itself is not sinful. It can be. But it's not necessarily that. But anyway, faith is the fruit of God himself. And let me just move on. You know, when we preach these things, I say this not to be mean, but if you don't believe the truth, you're not converted. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
It's not a matter, Joe, of how much truth you believe, because there are certain things that we believe that are truth, and there are other things we probably believe that are not the truth.
Yeah.
But you only believe the truth with the God-given gift of faith. The
yeah.
flesh never responds to truth.
Exactly.
The flesh responds to lies.
Right.
You're right.
But the flesh will call itself faith.
Yep. You're right.
Let me tell you, these people out here who are lying on God, they believe what they say.
Yeah.
They really believe it.
Yeah.
You know? Deceived, yes, but still yet, that doesn't make their believing it no less real.
Amen.
The error I used to hold to, I held to it with both hands.
Exactly.
And I would not let it go
yeah.
until God Almighty pried my fingers open.
Yeah.
And the first thing he did, though, was give me faith to love it.
Yeah.
And when he pried my fingers open, I seen that what I had in my hands was human opinion.
Exactly.
Error.
Yep.
And lies. What I once professed, I will never believe that. God Almighty made me believe it. He made me believe it.
Yeah.
Now, let me move along. Number three. First, faith is God's gift. Secondly, faith is the fruit of God Himself.
Yes.
Thirdly, believing, that is faith in action.
Yep.
Believing, that is faith in action, takes resurrection power. Ephesians 1, verse 19 and 20, Paul is clear. The very same power that it took, the very same power God used when he raised Christ from the dead is the very same power it took to cause me to believe.
Amen.
That's what he says. So as believing, that is faith in action, takes resurrection power. But fourthly, and this is what I want to deal with for the rest of just a few minutes, maybe 5-10 more minutes. Fourthly, faith is called forth into believing. Now you hear what I said?
Yeah.
You usually don't hear people, too many people talking like this. I don't say that to criticize, but it is a criticism.
Yeah.
I remember Earl on many occasions teaching us that you believe by faith. Faith is what God gives you. Faith is your response from that faith.
Yeah.
Our faith is perfect. It's the fruit of God.
Amen.
But our believing flows forth from who? Us.
Exactly.
Therefore, it is often flawed.
Yeah.
It is never absolutely perfect.
That's it.
But nevertheless, faith, or believing, that is faith in action. No, I'm not got that. Faith is called forth into believing. That is, it's made manifest by hearing the gospel of Christ. Romans 10, verse 17 says it this way. And faith by hearing.
Yeah.
Now, when you hear any person, let me criticize again. When you hear anybody say, faith comes. They're talking about source.
Yeah.
Faith comes by hearing. You know they are wet behind the ears.
Yeah.
Well, somebody says that's what the Bible says. No, that ain't what the Bible says. That's what the King James Version says.
Exactly. Yeah, I see it.
And the King James Version is wrong.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Yeah.
Cometh doesn't belong there. It says for faith by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
What? By how? What's it talking about? It's made manifest by hearing.
Yeah.
Because the next verse immediately says, but I say, have they not all heard?
Exactly.
Verily, their sound went out into all the earth. People who preached the gospel down through the ages, that sound went all over the place. It even went to Nineveh,
mm-hmm.
didn't it?
Yes, sir.
But just because a person hears it doesn't mean they will have faith.
Exactly.
No, it says, and faith by the report, and the report by the word of God. The only thing that calls a God-given faith into action is the truth of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
It's not about whether Christmas is a pagan holiday or not.
Exactly.
That may be a subject for discussion.
Yeah.
It may be something needful to consider, but you don't preach against Christmas and convert people.
Exactly. That's it.
It's not about whether Sunday schools are right or wrong. That may be a subject for discussion. It may be an important thing to discuss. It may be an important thing to consider whether you do it or not. But you don't preach against or for Sunday school and convert anyone.
Yeah.
You may convert them to being for or against it, but that's all you've done. That which converts the soul is the message of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our apostle, the apostle of the Gentiles, said this. He didn't say, I preach Jesus Christ crucified. No. What did he say? He said, I preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. Because Jesus Christ is not crucified. He was crucified.
Amen.
He now reigns and sits at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
So again, I say faith is called forth into believing by hearing the gospel of Christ. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. And listen to what Paul says and how he says it here. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? What? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, is he talking about these Galatians? Many of them were present at the crucifixion of Christ? No. What's he talking about? Jesus Christ has been preached among you. His substitutionary sacrificial death.
Amen.
He's been set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the what? You see that next phrase? By the hearing of faith. You don't hear to get faith.
Exactly.
You're given faith so you can hear.
Amen.
Faith has a hearing.
Yes, sir.
You see that? It's the hearing of faith. This is why the writer of Hebrews says the gospel was preached to a lot of other people, but it didn't profit them.
Exactly.
Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Talking there about physical hearing.
Yes, sir.
This is what Earl used to often talk about, the difference between the faculty of faith, that is the faculty, that is the ability to believe, and then actual believing. That is actual apprehension of truth. Actually embracing the truth. But you got to have the ability to do it before you can do it.
Exactly.
And these people talking anything contrary, I don't care how much they say they believe in the T of total depravity, they're really denying total depravity. Because the gospel has no more power to regenerate a dead soul than a dog does.
Amen.
God Almighty regenerates sinners, period. He gives life.
Amen.
And then the gospel manifests where that life is. And that's what Paul said.
Yes, sir.
The gospel that brings life and immortality to what? To light. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Or what? Or by the hearing of faith.
Amen.
Isn't it amazing? You remember our Lord said that he made this statement. We'll start with that. We'll have to start with that next week, Lord willing. He that hath an ear to hear,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Let him hear. So which comes first?
Yeah.
The having the faculty to hear or the actual hearing first? Yeah. Which must come first?
Exactly.
Now you may hear it physically first, but it will do you no good unless you have a hearing ear. And he goes on to say, have a seeing eye and have a perceiving heart. Yes. They must come first.
Amen.
Somebody said, you're back on that old gospel, no gospel regeneration. That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
Because that's the truth of how we are saved, by grace, through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works. It ain't even, you don't believe because I'm up here preaching to you. You believe because God Almighty gave you faith to believe. He gave you a hearing ear, a seeing eye, and a perceiving heart.
Amen.
That's it.
And that, according to our Lord's own example of the seed and the sower, must be. The good seed must fall on good ground.
Amen.
It does not make good ground.
Amen.
God Almighty makes good ground.
Amen.
That's what our Lord taught. I'll stand with him.
Exactly.
Right?
Amen.
And I will criticize everybody else who don't.
Exactly.
Because they are wrong.
Amen.
I didn't say they're lost, but they're wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're wrong. Faith has a hearing ear. He says it right here. The hearing of faith. And our Lord said, he that hath an ear to hear. He even said it to the seven churches. Why? Because there are some people in the seven churches that didn't have an ear to hear.
Amen.
Right.
He said, you've got an ear to hear, then you listen.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Now let me ask you this. Does a seeing man have to be in a lighted room to see, to have the ability to see? No. No. Sight is a state of being. A person who's able to see has the faculty of sight even when he's in a pitch dark room.
That's right.
But as soon as light enters into the room, he what? He sees.
That's right.
He sees. Now, our Lord wouldn't use a hearing ear and a seeing eye and a perceiving heart if that didn't mean what it's talking about.
Exactly.
And the reason we hammer on this is because our Lord gave actual instruction concerning it.
Yes.
Matthew chapter 13, verses 9 through 17. And let me just turn there and I'll read a couple and then we'll have to start there next time, Lord willing. Matthew 13. What is it? Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all three record this parable, right? And it's the parable of the seed of the sower. And verse 8 says, but other, that's what other seed. Now it's all good seed.
Yep.
The problem ain't with the seed.
Exactly.
The problem's with the type of ground it falls on.
Yeah. Amen.
But other fell into good ground. Now, the seed does what? It falls on the good ground. We're not preaching a seed that turns ground good.
Exactly.
Now, I only have the right to do that if God said that.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
And God did not say that. He actually said the opposite of that.
Exactly.
Now, if he left that part out, we'd be kind of left to try to figure it out through other means. But he actually says it. Right? But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, therefore, and some 60, and some 30. Therefore, don't look at somebody else as your example.
Yeah.
Look to the book as the example.
Yes, sir.
And even then, it's got to be tried by a fiery trial. But look what it says, and the disciples came. Oh, no, wait a minute, I left out the most important part. Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear?
Yeah.
Let him hear. So which comes first?
Yeah.
Faculty or apprehension? Which comes first? Faculty comes first. You got to have the ability before you can actually do it.
Amen.
Who hath ears to hear? Let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know.
That's right.
So it has to be, what comes first, the giving or the knowing?
Exactly. Yep.
And he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Now look at this. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given.
Amen.
Now that almost seems to be perplexing language until you begin to understand what he's talking about.
Exactly, yeah.
You already have life. You're already good ground if he's regenerated you.
Amen.
He's give you life. And then something else good comes along. Good seed.
Yes, sir.
And it falls on good ground.
Yeah.
So him that hath, to him shall be what? Given. And he shall what? Have more abundance. But whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even what he's got. You see that?
That's it.
So anybody that tells you it's got to come through the preaching of the gospel is not teaching what Christ taught.
Amen. You're right.
Correct?
Yep. Amen.
That's what it says. So again I say, faith is called forth into believing by hearing the gospel of Christ. And we have been accused. And when I say we, yes, maybe they've said Walter or Joe or Earl Cochran or others out here. Well, you don't believe the gospel is important. Just quit lying on me.
Exactly.
Just stop. Because the gospel is vital. But the gospel does what God's ordained it to do. No less.
That's right.
But also no more.
Amen.
And God's truth is honored only when we tell the truth about it.
Exactly.
Not just when we use little platitudes and quote a scripture from it.
Yeah.
Or use some Calvinistic phrase to try to make it all sound good. The truth is the truth is the truth, period. Everything else is a lie.
Yeah.
Right? It's a lie. You know, today, what is it? A falsehood. Well, he told a falsehood.
Yeah.
No, it's the scripture puts it this way. Truth, lie.
That's it.
Truth, lie. If it's not the truth, it's a lie. And that's what was it? Joe kind of mentioned it. You know, you got two people that disagree on something, a supposed fact. You got two people that disagree. There can be only two possibilities.
Yep.
Only two. Either one of them is wrong, and the other's absolutely right, or they're both wrong.
That's it.
There is no other option. There is no other place. And the point is, we stand with the Word of God. We don't try to take a passage here or there. Faith comes by hearing. Look at what it really says.
Yeah.
You know? Quit reading into God's Word what you want. Another one is, I can't remember how it actually goes now, the passage of Scripture. Paul, you might can help me. We looked at it here several months ago. About even was the gospel was preached unto them that are dead, that they might live unto God. And there are people who say, see right there, gospel preaching brings life. That ain't what that says. Two words, was and are.
Yeah, exactly.
And you go figure out what those two words mean, and you'll get what that says.
Yeah.
Therefore was the gospel preached, that's what? Past tense.
Yeah.
To them that what? Are dead. What's that? Present tense.
Yeah.
So what kind of death is he talking about? Because so if you talk about the gospel giving them life, then why are they still said to be dead? You see? But people interpret the book the way they want to make it fit what they already believe, rather than believe it. Here's what God's Word says. What's dead? They're dead. The gospel was preached unto them past tense that they might live unto God, but they're dead now. And it's that, you know, that verse is that simple, and yet people want to try to use it to prove their own point.
Yeah.
Why? Because men love lies more than truth.
Yes, sir.
Now let me give you this one. I finished that, didn't I? And I went over longer than what I said. Faith is of the highest order. It's of the grandest plane. And let me explain to you what I mean. It doesn't say, for by grace are you saved through repentance.
No, sir.
Does it?
No.
Didn't say that. Now, am I just saying, well, repentance don't matter? No, sir. But that's the point is this. It's not for by grace are you saved through repentance. Faith. Think of it. Faith has many sister graces, sister gifts. But
yeah.
Faith has one twin.
Yeah.
And it's a Siamese twin. I know that's supposed to be, that's a mean phrase. It's a conjoined twin. It's called faith and love.
Yeah.
I've already mentioned it. A God-given faith includes with it love.
Amen.
Love.
Yeah.
You can believe the truth all day long, but if you don't love it, you don't believe it with a God-given faith. You believe it was something else that's of no value. See, I say this because I care about the soul. I care about the real thing, the genuine thing. There are many people that I'm afraid have accepted the facts, but they don't love the truth. And that usually, it may be years, but years later will manifest itself when they then begin to abandon the truth itself.
Yeah, you're right.
Because when you love something, you stick with it as long as you love it.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the whole point of love. That's the whole meaning of love. Paul says faith without love is what?
Yeah.
Nothing. He says faith is energized or worketh by love.
Amen.
And Paul says the opposite of that is there are some who receive not the love of the truth, and what? God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Now, I can't tell you whether you really love it or not. I can tell you whether you believe it or not. You know, whether you just believe it, do you accept that? You can look at a person and the way they talk, the way they conduct themselves, just in the way they speak. You say, well, that person, they believe those facts, those doctrines. But your life will manifest whether you love it or not, in spite of yourself, in spite of your failures. You see, that's what Joe was talking about this morning. That's what Joe was preaching. Those who are here are not just here. I mean, those who are here and love this truth are here because they love this truth.
Amen.
That's why we've had some people who come in here, they believe the truth, and maybe they do love it, but something else has got far too much precedence with them. They've got to have something else with it. You see, when you have the truth of God manifest in the person and work of Christ, faith needs nothing else. My flesh may, but faith needs nothing else. Anytime you need something else, you know that's not of God. It's that simple, isn't it?
Yep.
Because the person and work of Christ is enough to keep us busy learning for the rest of our lives.
Yes, sir.
And you know what? For eternity.
Yeah. Yes,
for eternity. Father, I pray that these rambling words, nonetheless, that it be, as Joe said, planting, sowing, or watering. But Lord, we know that it's you that must give the increase. We rest in you. Lord, we're absolutely dependent upon you, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.